Psalm 24, page 555. Psalm 24. We look like we're all there. Psalm 24 of David, a psalm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Fantastic. Grab your seats. If you would turn with me back to Psalm 24, make sure you've got that open in front of you. It's important. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is your word that is powerful to change. And please, Lord, would you help us to meet Jesus in your word? Would you show us how to live in light of Psalm 24, for your glory. Amen. If you were in a small town called Erskirchen, a town in Germany back in 1994, now I understand you Litlands wouldn't have been there, but if you were there, you may have met Bedwell Rangers under 14s and under 15s. They would have been really easy to spot. They were the group walking around going, "We are the champions, my friends, duh, duh, and we'll keep on fighting till the end, duh, duh, duh." That's all I'm going to sing. That's all I'm going to sing. Don't you worry. My football team, Bedwell Rangers, had an agreement with another football team based in Erskirchen. Every year, we would play each other, alternating home pitches. So one year, they would come to us. The next year, we would go to them, and so on. For many, many years, Bedwell Rangers got completely whooped. We got absolutely beaten by the Germans. Nothing's changed, has it really? Except this one year, 1994, we went out and we won all three games. On all our travels after those three wins, we belted out this song, "We are the champions, my friends." Everyone at the top of their voices. I'll never forget it. We celebrated those victories well. But it's not just Bedwell Rangers that knows how to celebrate, is it? Because we all know what it's like to celebrate. We've celebrated things. Maybe weddings. Getting married, maybe it's passing exams, maybe you've been to celebrations or you've got married and things like that. Or maybe it's celebrating those everyday little wins. A good piece of work done, yes. Or you picked the right queue at Tesco and beat the other shoppers, ha-ha, 1-0. Or maybe you get your son to eat a vegetable. It might be mashed up in bolognese, but it still counts. Nice one. We all celebrate, maybe secretly, maybe not so secretly, but we all celebrate. The thing, though, I wonder is maybe, have we got a bit silly, though? Now, I don't want to judge, and I don't want to be one of those people that were in my day, but I can't help but wonder, you walk into a card shop and you see Happy National Umbrella Day. Seriously. Or this one, Happy National Middle Name Day. For people to celebrate middle names. Or the most ridiculous of them all, and I kid you not on this, Happy National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Seriously, Talk Like a Pirate Day. I don't get why we need to celebrate the fact we can talk like pirates. However, it doesn't matter how you celebrate or what you celebrate. Psalm 24 should be the song we sing. Now, the commentaries tell me Psalm 24 was penned when David returned the Ark of the Lord home in 2 Samuel 6. Finally, the Ark of the Lord, God's God on display box, had returned home. It'd been away for many, many years. They'd tried before and failed, but this time, they succeeded. You can imagine it, can't you? As the box enters into Jerusalem, carried by the Levites, I imagine it on the poles across their shoulders. Crowds on the left, crowds on the right, cheering with all their lungs. People shoulder to shoulder doing the, can you see it dance? Can you see it? Can you see it? Have you seen it? I can see it. I can see the box. Wanting to see the ark, great rejoicing. Smiles everywhere. The Lord has returned home to his people. He's come back. Lift up your heads, O gates. That's when I'm told David wrote this psalm. But even though that's when it was penned, I'm also told this is the song they'd sing when the victorious king would return home after a conquest. As they rode into Jerusalem, they'd hear this song roaring all around. This is the victory song for God's people to sing. But this song isn't just about big victories, from buying a house to doing a good job at work. Sorry, it's not just for big victories, it's for every victory, from buying a house to doing a good job at work that no one else will ever see, to getting the kids in bed on time. This psalm keeps our eyes focused in the right place, and it helps us to avoid three pits. Here we go. It helps us not to be like the person playing on their phone as they're walking along, as they ram straight into a lamppost, but like the person who's got their eyes up, looking at the dangers, avoiding the holes. And the first one is in verses 1 to 2. The first pit is the mind pit. When we do a great job, buy a house with money we've spent years saving for, get a job using the education we've got, we fall into the mind trap. Now, Daniel, my son, has been going through this whole mind thing. You may have seen it with toddlers. He sees something he wants, he grabs it and shouts, "Mine!" Doesn't matter if it's another child's toy, "Mine!" Or he's walking through the park, he sees a blob of brown stuff on the floor, he picks it up, "Mine!" No, Daniel, no. Put it down, mine! No, Daniel, put it down. You say no to him and all he does is shout louder, mine! Apparently, the other day, he was at someone's house and he was trying to sneak toys into the bottom of the pram. When Lydia took them out, he just yelled at her, mine! He thinks a lot of things are his when they're really not. He falls into the trap of, it's in my hands, it must be mine. But do you know what? I do the exact same thing. It's not just Daniel, is it? We all do the exact same thing. It's in my hands, it must be mine. In victories, our minds shout, mine, my house, my money. I do good piece of work, my model, my report. Ah, that's a spreadsheet model, if you're wondering. Just because they are in our hands, we think they are ours. My phone, my car. There are loads of things we think are mine. My church. My free time. Have a think. What would make you angry if God took it away? I get so annoyed if I'm cheated out of my money. Or if someone wastes my time. Because I'm stuck in the pit, the mind pit, thinking all these things are mine, mine, mine. I so easily fall into it. I so easily think all these things are mine. But what does God say to us as we hold the spoils of the victory in our hands? Verses 1 to 2. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. God says everything belongs to him. Everything. As David returned from a great victory with new lands to add to the kingdom, loads of money, new slaves, cattle, this song would remind him everything is the Lord's. But it's not just David, is it? It's all of us. We all need to be reminded of this thing, that everything is the Lord. Now, as we had the interview just a few moments ago, Doogie mentioned that I'll be soon leaving Canada Life to start a role here as a pastor in training. One of the strangest conversations I've had about it is that I was told that the intellectual property of the things I've created whilst working at Canada Life, so the spreadsheets that project property market values, the cash flow projections that do bonds, and all the boring stuff like that, I was told that it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Canada Life. So I shouldn't think about trying to take the models with me to my next job. I'm not sure they really understand what they think I'm going to be doing. I really didn't need to be reminded that those models needed to stay at Canada Life. They didn't belong to me, but they belong to Canada Life. The thing is, though, as much as I didn't need to be reminded of that, we all really need to be reminded that everything is God's. We so easily get distracted by shiny things. We so easily get distracted by things that we want to grab hold of and hold tightly. We so easily get distracted and we focus on these things that we think are ours and we shout, mine, mine, mine. And that's why we need to remind each other of Psalm 24. The Lord, everything belongs to him. It's not mine. Everything belongs to the Lord. The house I spent years saving for, it's God's house. That new job you get because of the education you worked for, it's God's. The children you are so proud of, it's God's. That extra time you've got because maybe you're retired or maybe you're in between jobs, it's God's time. Everything is God's. So that's the first pit we're to avoid, the mine, mine, mine pit. And to avoid this, we need to refocus our eyes and be reminded, the Lord, everything is his. The second pit is the I'm pit. Oh, there we go. The I'm pit. Some of you might have heard of Jose Mourinho, the comedian who currently manages Man United. When he first came to the Premiership, he moved to Chelsea and famously declared, if I wanted to have an easy job, I would have stayed at Porto. Beautiful blue chair, the UEFA Champions League trophy, God, and after God, me. He also said, please don't call me arrogant, but I'm European champion and I think I'm a special one. Now, we might not all stand up in front of people and say these things, but when we do stuff, we will very often secretly say to ourselves, I'm special, or I'm awesome. We might say it quietly so no one else will hear, But we'll say that in the victories, as we move into a new house or get a new job, we'll think, I'm pretty awesome, aren't I? I do it a lot. Maybe you dress it up like this. Maybe you'll say something like, how lucky are dot, dot, dot. How lucky is Canada Life to have me? They're going to be in such trouble when I'm gone. Maybe it's your family that's really lucky to have you. Maybe lucky wife, lucky husband, or lucky kids. We might not say it out loud, but we might think it. Or maybe you wrap it up slightly differently. Maybe when people don't treat you as the special ones, you shout, they should be more grateful. How dare they talk to me like that? Who do they think they are? I've done dot, dot, dot. Or I'm great. Put your own words in there. I'm valuable. I'm a great asset. I'm very useful. We might express it differently. We might not say, I'm the special one or I'm awesome. But very often, it's all about I, what I have done. But at the heart of it, it's me making myself big and amazing. It's me pumping myself up as being awesome. It's a pit we all fall into, especially after the victories and we're celebrating. But what does Psalm 24 say to us as we're in the I'm pit? Verses 3 to 5. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. This section echoes Psalm 15 that Doogie spoke on a couple of months back. The title was Songs for God's People, Perfection. It gave us the credentials for being at home with God. It showed us the only way you can dwell with God is through being perfect. And only God is perfect. God's standards are complete victory all the time. No mistakes, no slight errors, no false starts, complete and absolute perfection all the time. Now that's special. That really is special. As we've seen Jose manage, he's far from perfect. As we look at our lives, we're far from perfect. We are far from special. We are far from awesome. Even in the victories, we still make mistakes. As Christians, we all know these things. But we're still tempted to take our focus off God and place it on ourselves. We get distracted from wowing at how amazing God is, and we start wowing at ourselves. We start looking at the things that we do and go, wow, aren't I awesome? But Psalm 24 says no. Psalm 24 reminds us that it's all about the Lord. He alone is perfect. And that's what counts. This song reminds us we're not God. Only God is perfect. And only perfection counts. Isaiah 43 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Let's not get delusional. There is only one special one. There is only one awesome one. And it doesn't matter how many or what victories we achieve, we're not him. So let's avoid that pit, the I'm pit, the I'm awesome pit. Let's avoid it by reminding ourselves only God is awesome and perfect. And that's what counts. And I'm not God. Let's stop wowing at ourselves and let's start wowing at God, keeping our eyes fixed on him. So let's recap. We're to avoid the mind pit and the I'm pit by focusing our eyes back on the Lord and not getting distracted by ourselves or the shiny things that we think we have won. And so finally, the third point, the last pit we are so easily, I so easily fall into is the I pit, not the armpit, the I pit. The I did it myself pit. I am the one who did all this. I am the one that got 3 A's in my exams or 3 A stars or something like that. I am the one that got me this house. I am the one that did this really well. If you go back to the song I sang right at the beginning, "We Are the Champions," it very much focuses on me. I did it. I paid my dues. I am the champion. I. It's not just that song, though, is it? "I Did It My Way" by Frank Sinatra. "I'm Still Standing" by Elton John. "Three Lions on the Shirt." We never won anything, did we, with that song? All these songs attribute winning to us. It makes us believe we did it. I got myself through my exams. I'm the one who did it. Such an easy pit for us to sit in, isn't it? As we look at the things that are around us, as we look at some of the things that we have achieved as we would view it, we so easily sit there and say, "I did this, I did that. I made those spreadsheets at work." Maybe you might think of it slightly differently. You might start wanting to put other people's achievements down. You might think, actually, you know, I'm awesome and they're not. So I want to say that theirs isn't so great. And you start putting them down. You start pointing out mistakes. Or you start over-exaggerating about what you have done. There's a funny saying, Nathan told me this whilst we were on camp, "The older I get, the better I was." Have you heard that? "The older I get, the better I was." It focuses on my achievements, what I have done. Maybe you start trying to sneak into conversations. "Oh yeah, that reminds me when I did X, Y, and Z." Or maybe you get annoyed when you don't get the credit you deserve. At work, I'd spent ages doing something. Then my manager took the credit. I got really annoyed because I was sitting in the I pit. I did this. I want the credit. I am amazing. I did that, not him. I. But what does God's victory song remind us? Verses 7 to 10. "As David entered into Jerusalem, the song bellowed out, 'Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors,'" i.e., make some noise, "'that the King of glory may come in.'" Who is the King of glory? Is it David? No. "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. 'Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors,'" i.e., make some more noise, "'that the King of glory may come in.'" Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? It's the Lord of hosts. Who is the one who is mighty in battle? Who is the one who is victorious? It's the Lord of hosts. As David wrote this song, he wanted everyone to know that God had done it all. Not David, but God. David hadn't won the battle. It was the Lord of hosts. God had defeated the enemies. The I pit is a trap we all fall into, thinking, "I have done this." But it's not us that is victorious. It's not you. It's not me, it's the Lord of hosts. Who got you your education, your job? It's the Lord of hosts, great and mighty. Who got you through to retirement and sorted out the investments, made sure you had sufficient funds? It's the Lord of hosts. God does it. Oh, I've broken it. Oh, 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 is that where it runs out? Oh, never mind, it's all right. That last one's meant to say the Lord. Oh, what was it meant to say? Give me a sec. The Lord, he does it. It's the Lord who does it. You know, when I was growing up, I used to love going on the bus. My favorite part was going up to the top deck and sitting at the front of the bus and pretending I was driving. Have you ever done that? You ever done that? Do you do that? Yeah, was that last week? Last week. Front of the bus, pretending you're driving. You're pretending you're making the bus go left and the bus go right. There's a very embarrassed face down here. You used to do that? We've all done that, haven't we? When I was a lad, I used to love doing that. But sometimes I'd really think, if I got it just right, if I turned when the bus turned, I would think I was actually driving the bus. But the reality is, it's not me driving the bus. I was just the passenger. It's the driver who is driving the bus, not me. I'm not driving. The thing is, sometimes we're like the little kid. We think that we're driving. We think we're the ones who are doing everything. We think the victories are all about me and what I have done. We fall into the I pit. I did this. I am the champion. I did it my way. I'm still standing. I'm driving. And even if we don't say it loud, we think it. I. But God says no. It's the Lord. The Lord, the Lord. It's the Lord who does it. It's not me, but God. Psalm 2, 8, 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." All our good deeds are prepared by God beforehand for us. Our salvation is all God, not us. It's horrifying when we fall into the trap of thinking, I got my own salvation. I did it. I. It's not me. He does it. He wins the victories, not me. So those are the three pits, the mind pit, the I'm pit, and the I pit. And to stop us falling into those pits, we need to remind ourselves, we need to sing to each other and sing to ourselves, Psalm 24. It's the Lord, everything is his. The Lord, he alone is perfect. The Lord, he wins it. According to the tradition of the Talmud, which I'm not overly sure what that is, but according to the tradition of the Talmud, once the temple had been built, this psalm was sung in the temple every Sunday morning during the presentation of the wine offering. Every single Sunday morning, this psalm was sung. It wasn't just for victories now, but it pointed God's people forward to the day the victorious Lord would enter into Jerusalem. The people would have sung it, imagining millions upon millions of people packed into the streets, all singing their hearts out as the Lord of hosts, the Lord great and mighty, entered in victorious, with great cheering from the smallest to the biggest. It would have pointed them to the greatest and final victory. But imagine the horror, though. Come back with me about 2,000 years ago. We've seen how this psalm points us to a time that the great Lord of hosts will enter into Jerusalem. Well, roughly about the same time that they were singing this psalm, the great Lord of hosts entered into Jerusalem. As those people sat, knelt in the temple, singing those songs, imagining those future scenes, the actual great, amazing Lord entered into Jerusalem. The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle, but not with great cheers from the whole nation, not with the streets lined with people, but riding on a donkey. God's people did not recognize the time of the Lord's coming. They did not welcome the king, but they beat him. It wasn't roars of triumph, but roars of crucify him, crucify him. Not raising him up on their shoulders triumphantly, but raising him up on a cross. Not sitting him down at the place of honor and seeing how amazing he is, but placing his beaten and battered dead body into someone else's tomb. Why did this happen? So that verse 6 of Psalm 24 might happen. You see, the whole of this psalm starts and it builds up to this odd verse 6. Then afterwards, it works its way down again. Psalm 24 is all about the victorious Lord. But right in the middle, you get verse 6. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Why did Jesus, the King of glory, the King mighty in battle, have to hang on the cross? Why at that point in history did he refuse the victor's celebration in exchange for the loser's beating and flogging? In exchange for the loser's punishment of being hung on the cross rather than the victor's reward? Why? So that one day, on the final day, all those who truly seek God's face, all those who fix their eyes on him, won't be punished for a lifetime of minds, aims, and eyes. They won't be punished for a lifetime of me in the middle. I did it my way, I am the champion. But they will also receive the victor's reward. That's why Jesus went to the cross. I love the fact this psalm doesn't only challenge us now to keep our eyes not on ourselves, but it also points us forward to the final day when Jesus will return, when the King of glory will receive the reward he truly deserves. But on that day, when only Jesus deserves to be celebrating, when only Jesus deserves the victorious celebration, the victorious welcome, he will bring his people with him. He will bring me, a selfish scumbag who spent my whole life saying, mine, 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 I'm awesome, I did it. He will bring me with him. And he will bring you if you are someone who seeks his face. It doesn't say everyone will be there. And it doesn't say those who have tried really hard, but all those who look at God, have their eyes focused on him. Not those who try to get there with minds, aims, and eyes, but all those who trust in Jesus to get them there. He will bring them into the celebration with him. That day is going to be awesome. But as I end, as I finish, I want to finish with one question. Will you be there? It's a simple question. Will you be there at the final victorious celebration as Jesus enters into the New Jerusalem with his people? Will you be there? Will you receive the victor's welcome? Will you be one of those Jesus brings with him? Are you not sure? Well, come to speak to one of us, Doogie, myself, Rachel, someone, one of the elders afterwards. We'd love to tell you more about how you can truly seek God's face, how you can be certain that you will be there on that last day. We'd love to tell you more. However, if you will be there, if Jesus has taken the punishment for your mine, aims, and eyes, then make sure Psalm 24 is the song you sing through your victories. It will refresh your heart. It will help you refocus your eyes. There are lots of people that might say at this time, I don't feel like I'm winning much. There aren't many victories to be celebrating. Celebrate in the fact that Jesus has done it all. And on that final day, you will be with him. Use Psalm 24 to fill your heart with rejoicing as you imagine yourself on that final day, as Jesus enters in with you. Use Psalm 24 to fix your eyes on him, to fix your eyes on that final day. Fill your hearts with joy because he has done it all. Will you be there? As you go home, think about that question. Will you be there?